إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، so continuing with the tafsir of Juz Amma, the 30th chapter of the Qur'an, we've now reached Surah Zalzalah. إِذَا زُلْزِلَتِ الْأَرْضُ زِلْزَالَهَا. So who can recite it then to start off with? إِذَا زُلْزِلَتِ الْأَرْضُ زِلْزَالَهَا. Go on then.
تحدث أخبار
بأن
ربك أوحى لها يومئذ يصدر الناس أشتاتا ليروا أعمالهم
فمن يعمل
مثقال ذرة خيرا يرى ومن يعمل مثقال ذرة شرا يرى.
One more.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إذا زلزلت الأرض زلزالها وأخرجت الأرض أثقالها وقال الإنسان ما لها يومئذ أخبارها بأن ربك أوحى لها يومئذ يصدر الناس أشتاتا ليروا أعمالهم فمن يعمل مثقال ذرة شرا يرى ومن
خيرا يرى خيرا يرى first.
ومن يعمل مثقال ذرة شرا يرى.
Okay, excellent. So this is the surah that we're going to discuss today. إِذَا زُلْزِلَتِ الْأَرْضُ زِلْزَالَهَا. When the earth is shaken with its final earthquake. إِذَا زُلْزِلَتِ الْأَرْضُ زِلْزَالَهَا. Allah says, when the earth is shaken with its final earthquake, وَأَخْرَجَتِ الْأَرْضُ أَثْقَالَهَا. And when the earth throws out its burdens. When the earth throws out its burdens. وَقَالَ الْإِنسَانُ مَا لَهَا. And man will say, what is the matter with it? What is the matter with it? يَوْمَئِذٍ تُحَدِّثُ أَخْبَارَهَا. That day, it will declare its information about all that happened over it, everything that happened on it, of good or evil. بِأَنَّ رَبَّكَ أَوْحَى لَهَا. Because your Lord will inspire it, i.e. give it permission to do so. يَوْمَئِذٍ يَصْدُرُ النَّاسُ أَشْتَاتًا لِيُرَوْا أَعْمَالَهُمْ. That day mankind will proceed in scattered groups, that they may be shown their deeds. فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَى. So whomsoever does good equal to the weight of an atom or a small ant shall see it. وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرًّا يَرَى. And whomsoever does evil equal to the weight of an atom or a small ant shall see it. So here then, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about the end of time and what will occur, some of the things that will happen at the end of time. So it mentions here, إِذَا زُلْزِلَتِ الْأَرْضُ زِلْزَالَهَا. When the earth is shaken with its final earthquake. At the end of time, when the earth is shaken, the earthquake, the earth is shaken with its final earthquake. As Shaykh al-Uthaymeen, he mentions that will be the time when you have the great earthquake. يعني الزلزال العظيم الذي لم يكن مثله قط. An earthquake like you've never seen before. An earthquake where no example of that earthquake has ever occurred before. Nothing similar to it in terms of its severity, in terms of how severe that event will be, the shaking of the earth. There is no other earthquake that has occurred similar to what will occur on that day. And the Shaykh mentions the ayat in the Quran that describe what the people will be like at that time when this great earthquake happens. It mentions that you will see the people as if they are sukara. تَرَى النَّاسَ سُكَارَى وَمَا هُمْ بِسُكَارَى. It will be as if the people are intoxicated, as if the people are confused and they don't know what's going on from the severity of all of the events, the severity of the earthquake that happens at the end. Then the people will be around confused and not understanding or knowing what's happening, in a state of complete shock at what is occurring from this earthquake that will happen at the end of time. And that will be, as Shaykh al-Uthaymeen says, from their extreme amazement and shock when this great earthquake happens, from their extreme amazement and shock at what's happening to them with this great earthquake, then they will become as if they are intoxicated, as if they can't understand and they don't know what's going on with anything around them. And they will be screaming and shouting in a state of severe fear, in a state of severe terror, and such that even a mother would not be looking towards her own son. The people who are relatives will not even be looking towards their own relatives. Everybody will be in that state of shock, worried about themselves, worried about what's going on and what's going to happen to them. That even their own relatives, they won't have that focus on the mother to the son, etc. The focus won't be on those things. Everybody will be focusing on their own self and this severe terror that is going on around them. And that's mentioned when the day of resurrection actually occurs and the people are raised up from their graves, that the father will run from his son and the mother from the son and the husband from the wife, that everybody will only be looking after themselves. Nobody will care about what the others are doing. It will be about their own state from the terror that they find themselves in. To the extent that it's mentioned that the people are going to be resurrected naked. The people will be resurrected barefooted and naked and uncircumcised. So Aisha radiallahu anha asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, if the people are resurrected naked, then won't they be looking at each other? So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam replied and told her that on that day, the affair, all of the terror and the frightening things that will be going on, it will be so much that nobody will care about anybody else or to look anywhere else. They will only be bothered about themselves and to try to save themselves. That will be the level of the terror and the fright and the severity of how difficult that day will be. That nobody will care for anybody else. They will only be looking for themselves to save themselves. So when this great earthquake happens, an earthquake like no other earthquake before it, إِذَا زُلْزِلَتِ الْأَرْضُ زِلْزَالَهَا وَأَخْرَجَتِ الْأَرْضُ أَثْقَالَهَا. And when that great earthquake happens, then the earth, it removes, it gets rid of its burden. It gets rid of what is inside of it. And what does that mean? I.e. the people that were buried in the earth, they will be exited, taken out and removed from the earth. That's what this ayah means. وَأَخْرَجَتِ الْأَرْضُ أَثْقَالَهَا. That the earth will remove the burden within it. I.e. the people that were buried within it. On that day Allah says the earth will then remove them. that those people will be exited and taken out from their graves. And that's what we mentioned previously, that when the trumpet is blown on the day of judgment, when the trumpet is blown on the day of judgment, then the people will be resurrected. The first blowing of the trumpet, that they become confused and they fall unconscious. Then the second blowing of the trumpet, that the people are then resurrected out of their graves. So this ayah is in line with those ayat, talking about how people will be taken out of their graves on that day, and they will be brought to life again, resurrected. Al-Muradu bihim, أصحاب القبور فإنه إذا نفخ في الصور فصعق من في السماوات ومن في الأرض إلا من شاء الله ثم نفخ فيه أخرى فإذا هم قيام ينظرون يخرجون من قبورهم لرب العالمين عز وجل. So when the trumpet is blown on that day, firstly the people will become in a state of shock and terror when they hear that, and they will fall unconscious. Then when the trumpet is blown again by Israfil alayhi salam, they will then be resurrected and raised up, and they will be looking. And they will find themselves in this state of shock and amazement at what has occurred. That they have now been resurrected from their graves and they've been given life once again. So when that happens, when this great earthquake happens and the people are taken out of their graves and they are resurrected, then Allah says, وَقَالَ الْإِنسَانُ مَا لَهَا. Then people will say, what is going on? What is happening? What is going on with the earth? When they see all of this shock and terror of what the events that are happening, then the people will say to each other, then what is happening? What has happened to this earth? What is this great earthquake? They will be asking, they will be looking at each other. What is this great earthquake? What has happened to the ground? Why this great tremendous shaking and the terror of that day? So they'll be asking, ma laha? What is wrong with the earth? What has happened to the earth? Why this great earthquake? Then Allah mentions, yawma idhin tuhaddithu akhbaraha. That on that day, when this great earthquake happens like no other earthquake before it, and the people are resurrected, and then they will be asking, what's happened to the earth, this tremendous earthquake? Then Allah says, on that day, the earth will testify, will declare its information. The earth will declare its information, meaning that the earth will then speak, and it will tell, it will say what everybody used to do on it. What everybody used to perform on that earth, whether somebody used to do good things on the earth, or somebody used to do bad things on this earth when they were alive, then the earth will testify on that day. The earth itself will then mention, it will then declare its information regarding what the people had done upon it. And that is, as Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen mentions, تُخْبِرُ عَمَّا فَعَلَ النَّاسُ عَلَيْهَا مِنْ خَيْرٍ أَوْ شَرٍ. That the earth will then tell, it will declare, it will then testify regarding what the people did on it from goodness or evil. وَقَدْ ثَبَتَ عَنِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ أَنَّ الْمُؤَذِّنَ إِذَا أَذَّنَ فَإِنَّهُ لَا يَسْمَعُ سَوْتَهُ شَجَرٌ وَلَا مَدْرٌ وَلَا حَجَرٌ وَلَا شَيْءٌ إِلَّا شَهِدَ لَهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. It is mentioned in a hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari, that when the muadhin, the person who does the adhan, when the muadhin makes the adhan, he states the adhan, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, the adhan, he makes that for the time of the prayer. In the hadith of al-Bukhari, it mentions that there is not a tree or a stone from the inanimate objects, the trees and stones and these types of things, there is not any of those objects who hear this muadhin making the adhan, except that on the day of judgment, those objects will testify to that person also. They will testify for that individual, for the obedience and the worship that he was doing in making the adhan, calling the people to the prayer. Even the trees where the voice goes to, the rocks and the stones where his voice goes to, they will testify on the day of judgment regarding this man, how he was doing this worship, calling the people to the prayer. So this indicates that the earth, it will testify. Somebody may say, why do we need these statements and testifications? Of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows all of that anyway. Allah knows all of what we did, from the good or the bad. All of that is recorded and Allah knows of it. So why does it require for the earth to come and testify on the day of judgment? For the stones and the trees to come and testify? Why are these testifications and statements needed when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala already knows who did what, who did good, who did bad? Why would that be the case? Why would these declarations be something suitable to occur on the day of judgment and correct to occur, and from Allah's wisdom He allows and causes them to occur? But why? When Allah already knows exactly what everybody's done and who deserves to go to hellfire, who deserves to go to paradise. To check if they
lied or not, or see if they did it right.
That's close. It's on the lines. To check if they lied or not. It's to see, or it's to show them the justice. To show them the justice. So when somebody, he performs some evil, then on the day of judgment, the earth, the ground that he performed it on, testifies against him performing that evil. The trees or the stones or whatever it may be on that day then testifies to this individual having performed this evil. That is then a physical, something real, explaining to this individual that in justice you deserve this punishment, you did this. It is to show them in reality they did it. Because if somebody doesn't see it, it's possible they might lie. As the Shaykh mentions, they will. Because when the people who did sin, on the day of judgment, when they see that the people who did good are going to paradise, then the ones who did bad, they will want to try and cover up the shirk that they were doing. They will try to conceal and to hide the shirk that they were doing. When they see the people of Tawheed walking towards paradise, but then when they try to conceal the shirk they were doing, they try to hide what they were doing, then these testifications of the earth, etc., will come and show them, rather, you did do this bad, and here is the justification, or here is the testification, here is the proof that you did this bad. So it will show them injustice, that they have no reason to try to hide or conceal or lie. They actually did those things. So Allah, from His justice, He allows this to occur, to show those people that in reality you are deserving of this. The earth is testifying to you having done that. The hands and the body parts of a person, they testify against him regarding what he did. So the Shaykh, he mentions, فَتَشْهَدُ الْأَرْضِ بِمَا صُنِعَ عَلَيْهَا مِنْ خَيْرٍ أَوْ شَرٍ. So the earth will testify regarding what was done on it, from the good or the bad. وَهَذِهِ الشَّهَادَةِ مِنْ أَجْلِ بَيَانِ عَدْلِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلٍ. And this testification will be to show the justice of Allah, the Mighty, the Majestic. وَأَنَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى لَا يُؤَاخِذَ النَّاسِ إِلَّا بِمَا عَمِلُوهُ. And to show those people that they are not being held accountable and being punished except for stuff that they did themselves, except for deeds and actions that they did themselves. The earth will come and testify, you did this and you did that. The other body parts, etc., will testify, you did this and you did that. So this is from the justice, it will be shown to them. You are only being punished today for what you actually did. And here are the testifications for what you actually did. So that will be the justice of Allah. وَإِلَّا فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ مُحِيطٍ. Otherwise, even without those testifications, Allah knows exactly who did what anyway. But to show them the justice. وَيَكْفِي أَنْ يَقُولْ لِعِبَادِهِ جَلَّ وَعَلَىٰ عَمِلْتُمْ كَذَا وَعَمِلْتُمْ كَذَا لَكِنْ مِنْ بَابِ إِقَامَةِ الْعَدْلِ وَعَدَمْ إِنْكَارِ الْمُجْرِمِ. So Allah could just say to them on that day that you did this and you did that and you did this, so therefore you deserve hellfire. It could just be said to them like that. But the testifications will come as a justice to show them you are being punished for exactly the actual deeds that you did, and so that those people can't lie, so that those people can't deny that they did these evils and these sins, the testifications will come against them. So it's mentioned in the Quran, there are some ayat where it mentions about how the mushrikeen, they try to deny. They do try and deny it. Because when they see that the people of Tawheed, they have been freed from punishment and saved, and they are heading towards paradise, then the people of shirk, they also want to be saved. So then they try to deny the shirk that they committed. But then it's mentioned, لَكِنَّهُمْ يُخْتَمُ عَلَىٰ أَفْوَاهِهِمْ. But then when they try to deny that, their mouths will be sealed. Their mouths will be closed. They will be unable to speak. وَتَتَكَلَّمُ الْأَيْدِي. And their hands will speak. وَتَشْهَدُ الْأَرْجُلْ وَالْجُلُودُ وَالْأَلْسِنُ. And their legs and their skins and their tongues, they will testify against the person. كُلُّهَا تَشْهَدُ عَلَى الْإِنسَانِ بِمَا عَمِلْ. All of them will testify against the person on what he did. وَحِينَ إِذٍ لَا يَسْتَطِيعُ أَنْ يَبْقَى عَلَىٰ إِنْكَارِهِ بَلْ يَقِرْ وَيَعْتَرِفْ. So when all of these testifications come in against that individual, he'll not be able to deny that. He will have to then acknowledge that and accept that. إِلَّا أَنَّهُ لَا يَنْفَعَ النَّدَمْ فِي ذَلِكَ الْوَقْتِ. However, the Shaykh says, at that time, on the day of resurrection, the one who has died upon shirk and upon those affairs, even if he then has to accept in the end what he did, with all of the testifications against him, if that person then has to accept that, so he does, and he is regretful and remorseful, he feels sorry for what he's done to himself, for the shirk that he committed, then will that benefit him on that day? It will not benefit him. Even if he regrets it then on that day, he regrets it in the end when he realizes what he's done and the shirk that he's done. Even if he regrets it on that day, then that regret of his on that day will not benefit him. So then it says, يَوْمَ إِذٍ تُحَدِّثُ أَخْبَارَهَا. On that day, the earth will speak its news. The earth will declare its information. Why and how? Allah says in the next ayah, بِأَنَّ رَبَّكَ أَوْحَى لَهَا. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspires the earth to make that testification on that day. Meaning that Allah gives the permission to the earth to speak that testification and to declare that testification on that day. And Allah is able to do all things. Allah is powerful, the Almighty, the Majestic, who is able to do all things. So if Allah makes the earth on that day testify against the people and what they did, then Allah is able to do that, and there is no issue within that. إِذَا أَمَرَ شَيْئًا بِأَمْرٍ فَإِنَّهُ لَا بُدَّ أَنْ يَقَعْ. If Allah commands something to happen, then it must happen. So if Allah commands the earth, or when Allah commands the earth on that day to reveal the information, then the earth will do that, and it will reveal the information. It's mentioned, يُخَاطِبُ اللَّهُ الْجَمَادِ فَيَتَكَلَّمُ الْجَمَادِ. Allah will speak to the objects. Objects, inanimate objects. Objects that aren't alive. Rocks, stones, trees. That Allah will speak to them and they will reply. That they will speak back. So this is all from that power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the ability of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all of that to occur. Even at the beginning of creation, this is at the end of creation on the day of judgment, even at the beginning of creation, then we mention that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He created the pen. That Allah first created the pen. And Allah said to the pen when He first created that pen, write, uktub. So the pen said, ma aktub, What shall I write? And then Allah said, write everything which will occur to the day of judgment. So Allah created a pen and told the pen to write. The pen said, what shall I write? Allah said to the pen, write down everything which will occur until the day of judgment. So Allah is able to do all things. So this shows how on that day, Allah will cause them to be testified against. And even the objects that have no life will be able to speak and testify. So on that day, Allah will give permission to the earth to make this testification and declaration. Then it says, يَوْمَ إِذٍ يَصْدُرُ النَّاسُ أَشْتَاتًا لِيُرَوْا أَعْمَالَهُمْ. On that day, people will be resurrected in groups, scattered in groups. They'll be resurrected, scattered in groups. لِيُرَوْا أَعْمَالَهُمْ. So that they can see what actions they've done. To see what actions they had done during this lifetime. A, يَصْدُرُ النَّاسُ أَشْتَاتًا. A, جَمَاعَاتْ مُتَفَرِّقِينَ يَصْدُرُونَ كُلٌّ يَتَّجِهُ إِلَى مَأْوَاهُ. So the people will be resurrected in groups scattered around. And all of them will be heading towards their end abode. All of them will be heading towards their abode where they will remain forever. فَأَهْلُ الْجَنَّةِ جَعَلَنَا اللَّهُ مِنْهُمْ. So the people of paradise, may Allah make us from them. يَتَّجِهُونَ إِلَيْهَا. They will be heading towards paradise. وَأَهْلُ النَّذُ بِاللَّهِ. And the people of the fire, we seek refuge in Allah. يُسَاقُونَ إِلَيْهَا. They will be taken towards the fire. They will be driven towards the fire. فَيَسْدُرُ النَّاسُ جَمَعَاتٍ وَزُمَرَى عَلَى أَسْنَافٍ مُتَبَايَنَةٍ تَخْتَلِفُ اخْتِلَافًا كَبِيرًا. So the people are going to be raised up on that day in different groups scattered around, and they'll all be at different levels. They've all got different levels of what they did in their actions. They'll all be at those differing levels in their differences between them. لِيُرَوْا أَعْمَالَهُمْ. So they will then be shown their actions. يَعْنِي يَصْدُرُونَ أَشْتَاتًا فَيَرَوْا أَعْمَالَهُمْ. They are raised up in all of these groups and then they are shown their actions. What you used to do when you were alive on this earth. يُرِيَهُمُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى أَعْمَالَهُمْ إِنْ خَيْرًا فَخَيْرٌ وَإِنْ شَرًّا فَشَرٌ وَذَلِكَ بِالْحِسَابِ وَبِالْكِتَابِ. So every person will be shown his deeds. And if it is goodness that you had, then there will be goodness for you on the hereafter. And if it was badness that you had, evil, then there will be evil for you in the hereafter. And that will all be the accountability based upon your books. فَيُعْطَى الْإِنسَانُ كِتَابُهُ إِمَّا بِيَمِينِهِ وَإِمَّا بِشِمَالِهِ. So a person on that day will be given his book. The book with all of your deeds written inside of it. Either the person will be given the book with his right hand, or the person will be given that book with his left hand. And in some of the ayat of the Quran, it says that the evildoers will be given their books behind their backs. And so some of the scholars said, how do we understand these ayat? One ayah says that the evildoers will be given their books with their evil deeds in them in their left hand as a degradation. Whereas the believers, those righteous ones, will get their books in their right hands. But in another ayah it says the evildoers will get their books behind their backs as a degradation. So some of the scholars said to combine between those two ayat that it could be the case that they will be given the book in their left hand behind their back. In the left hand, behind the back. And that would therefore combine between the two ayat, that the evildoers will be given their books in their left hands, behind their backs. Other scholars, they say, actually, it could be the case, and this is from the ijtihad of the scholars. It is not the actual ayah or the hadith which says this. This is from the striving of the scholars to come to an understanding. Some of them said it could be the case, and Allah is capable of all things, that the evildoers, their hands will be taken off their body and they'll be put onto their back, stuck onto their back, so that they can receive their books from the back. Other scholars, they mentioned that actually it could be that their left hand is taken through their body and it comes out from the back, and they are given their book behind their back in their left hand in that way. All of that as a degradation upon them. But these are explanations the scholars they gave. What we know with certainty is that it is in the left hand and it is behind the backs for those who did the evil. As for those who do the good, then for them it is that they receive their books in their right hands. أما المؤمن, so as for the believers on that day, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى يَخْلُوَ بِهِ وَحْدَهُ, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be alone, the believer will be alone with Allah, and that believer will acknowledge the sins that he did, and he will say, فَعَلْتُ كَذَا, I did do this and I did do this, until he acknowledges the sins that he did. فَإِذَا رَأَى أَنَّهُ هَلَكَ, then when that believer thinks he's destroyed, he thinks he's finished, he thinks that after acknowledging all of these sins that he's done, he has no respite now, he has no savior now. But then it will be said to him, إِنِّي قَدْ سَتَرْتُهَا عَلَيْكَ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَأَنَا أَغْفِرُهَا لَكَ الْيَوْمِ. But then Allah will say to those believers, the righteous ones, that I concealed these sins of yours whilst you were on the earth, and today I will forgive for you those sins. So those individuals will be forgiven. As for the disbelievers, then they will not be forgiven on that day. Those who died upon shirk, those who died upon a lack of tawheed, then they will be in the hellfire forever, and that will be their final abode. So then it says, Allah mentions, فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَى. So whoever does even a tiny amount of good in this world, whoever does even a tiny amount of good, the smallest amount of good, you will see that on the day of judgment. It will be in your good deeds, even if it was a tiny amount of good. And whomsoever, the next ayah says, وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَى. And whomsoever, أَشَرًّا يَرَى, whomsoever does even a tiny amount of evil, then on the day of judgment you will see that. To the extent the scholars, they say, that what if a person commits a sin and then repents from it? You commit a sin and then you repent from it. Will that sin still be in your book on the day of judgment? Will you still see in your books that on such and such a day you did do such and such a sin? Or will that be rubbed out now because you repented whilst you were alive? You repented from that sin and never did it again. So will it still stay in your book, or will it be rubbed out then?
Rubbed out? Because he made dua.
Because he repented?
In your book.
Will it still be there? It will be there, huh? So difference of opinion here. One saying it will still be there, one saying it won't be there.
It'll still be there, but it'll be crossed out.
It'll still be there, but it'll be crossed out. So this is the difference of opinion between the scholars. Some of the scholars, they say it won't be there. Some scholars, they say if you commit a sin and you sincerely repent from it and never go back to it again, you know the conditions for the sincere repentance, that you regret the sin that you did, you have remorse in your heart, you regret that sin that you did, and you seek the repentance from Allah sincerely. Sincerely you ask Allah for repentance, for forgiveness from that sin that you did. And you make a firm intention in your heart, you're never going to go back to that sin again. And that you do it before time is up, i.e. before your death, or before the sun rises from the opposite direction. So the one who makes the sincere repentance, some of the scholars, they say that the sin will be wiped out. What's a proof they use for that though? What is a proof to show that yes, perhaps if you make sincere repentance, then your sin will be wiped out and it will not be in your records? Who can think of an evidence to prove that? Exactly, the hadith, أَتْبِعِ السَّيِّئَةَ بِالْحَسَنَةِ تَمْحُهَا. Follow up a bad deed with a good deed and it will wipe it out. The hadith says, follow up a bad deed. If you do something bad, then repent, etc. From that, do something good. Do the good deeds. And the good deeds will wipe out the bad deed. So So some of the scholars say this therefore indicates the bad deed will not remain in the books after that. However, other scholars, they say, actually, even if you repent sincerely, of course, that means that you will not be punished for that sin that you did, but it will remain in the book and you will still see it. It will still be in the book, but you will not be accountable upon it, because you've made the sincere repentance, so you have been forgiven for it, but it will stay in the book. As mentioned, stay in the book as you would understand it, stay in the book but crossed out. Meaning that it's in the book, meaning the meaning of that to explain as an example, that it's in the book but you are not held accountable for it. So this is what some of the scholars say regarding the sins. So here the narration says, or rather the ayah says, whoever does even an atom's weight of good, a tiny amount of good, it will still be in your deeds on the day of judgment that you did this tiny amount of good on this particular day. And even if you do a tiny amount of bad, then it will be in your deeds that on this particular day you did this tiny amount of bad. And that's mentioned in a hadith. وَإِنَّ الْعَبْدَ لَيَتَكَلَّمُ بِكَلِمَةٍ مِّن رِضَى اللَّهِ لَا يُلْقِي لَهَا بَالًا. That may be a person, he might say something which is from the words that are good and righteous. Words that are good and righteous. The remembrance of Allah, the supplication to Allah, the recitation of something good. You do something good, you say something good. But in the hadith it says, لا يلقي لها بالاً. Maybe you do something good, you say something good, but you don't really focus on it. It was a good deed, and you intended a good deed, and you did that good deed, but you didn't really focus on it. And you forget about it. You forget that on this particular day, you did this good deed. On the day of judgment, in that hadith it says, due to that one good deed, it could be that you end up in the paradise because of that one good deed, and you don't even remember doing that good deed. But every good deed sincerely that you do for the sake of Allah upon the sunnah, then it will be recorded. And similarly the hadith says, وَإِنَّ الْعَبْدَ لَيَتَكَلَّمُ بِكَلِمَةِ مِسَخَطِ اللَّهِ. That maybe a person, he says something evil, something which Allah dislikes. لَا يُلْقِي لَهَا بَالًا. And you don't really concentrate on that. You don't really pay attention. You say something bad, which is something evil, backbiting, slander, lying, something bad, something evil. And you don't really pay attention to it. You just say it, the next day you've forgotten it and it's gone. But on the day of judgment, that evil deed, even how small it was, maybe you said bad about someone, one word of backbiting, one word of lying, one word of cheating or deception, and you forget about it, on the day of judgment, it's mentioned in this hadith, it will be there, and perhaps a person, yahwi biha ila jahannam, because of that one bad deed, that could be the factor which leads to you entering into the hellfire on that day. So here the ayah in the Quran very clearly says, that whosoever does a good deed equal to the weight of an atom, meaning even a tiny good deed, then that person will see it on that day. And whomsoever deed even the smallest amount, atom's weight of bad, then that person will see it on that day. So then the Shaykh, he concludes by mentioning that هذه السورة كلها التحذير والتخويف من زلزلة الأرض. All of this surah then, it is a warning. It is a warning to the people. Allah is giving the people a warning in this surah, mentioning that terrifying earthquake, that tremendous earthquake at the end of time. No such earthquake occurring like it before that. And how the people will be shocked and in terror, as if they're drunk, intoxicated from fear, not caring about their own family, only for themselves. So all of that Allah mentions in here to make it a warning to the people. Because remember, the Quran is for pondering over, to contemplate over. Allah said, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ. Do they not focus on the Quran? Do they not ponder over the Quran? Do they not look into the Quran and its meanings and act upon it? So here Allah is giving us this surah as a warning, but also takhweef, as something to frighten you, as something to frighten the people, to put some fear into their hearts from that tremendous earthquake that will occur. وَفِيهَا الْحَثُ عَلَى الْأَعْمَالِ الصَّالِحَةِ. And within this surah is an encouragement for people to do the righteous deeds. وَفِيهَا أَنَّ الْعَمَلَ لَا يُضِعْ مَهْمَا قَلْ. And also this surah indicates to you that no actions will ever get lost or neglected or wasted, no matter how small they are. How small a person's deeds may be in good or bad, then none of that will be forgotten. Indeed, the person will see everything on that day of what he did. So this is a surah that indicates to us the severity of that day, and that it is upon all of us to be practicing this religion in the proper and correct manner, as the Prophet ﷺ came with the revelation. As the Prophet ﷺ came and informed us of that revelation from Allah regarding the halal, regarding the haram, and it's upon us to stick to those boundaries. Just like the Prophet ﷺ said, إِنَّ الْحَلَالَ بَيِّنٌ وَإِنَّ الْحَرَامَ بَيِّنٌ وَبَيْنَهُمَا أُمُرٌ مُتَشَابِهَاتٌ أَوْ مُشْتَبِهَاتٌ. That the halal is clear. What's halal is clear for you, and what's haram is clear for you. So stick to them and stay away from that which is in between. In between, where you have the grey area, you're not sure, is it halal, is it haram? Stay away from those affairs. Stick to that which is halal. Stick to the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, the Quran and the sunnah upon the methodology of the salaf of this ummah, and return back to the scholars of Ahlul Sunnah in seeking the fatwa, in seeking the guidance, in seeking answers to our situations and circumstances. That is as Allah commanded us, فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Ask the people of knowledge if you do not know. So it is upon us to return to our religion and to practice it in the proper and correct manner upon the understanding of the salaf of this ummah. Every deed that a person does is recorded for him or against him. And nobody knows when death will come to them. No individual is aware of when death will come to them. Too many people you hear them say, even if they hear something like this, Suratul Zalzala, they will say, yes, we will start soon. We will start praying soon. And we will start going to the masjid soon. And that soon may never come for them. Death may come upon them before that time comes to them. So it is upon a person to be hasty, to be eager and enthusiastic to start practicing the religion. This religion is what brings honor to a person. Honor is in this religion. Honor is not outside of the religion. The one who practices the laws of Allah and His Messenger, that which the Prophet ﷺ brought to us from revelation from Allah, the one who practices that, that's where the honor is. The one who tries to copy and emulate and be like the Sahaba, be like the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, the women that they try to emulate and copy and be like the women of the companions. It is mentioned that some women, they went to a particular scholar and they were complaining about a particular ruling. They were complaining about a particular ruling in the religion for women specifically. So this particular scholar said to them, he said, you women, you're complaining. And the reason you're complaining is because you're not able to be like the women of the companions. The women of the companions who lived at the time of the Prophet ﷺ, they didn't complain over these rulings. They knew that this is from justice and wisdom, and that the religion of Islam, it honors them. So they didn't complain. But you complain now because you are not like them and you're unable to emulate them. So what's upon us all, the men and the women, is that we emulate and we practice this religion the way of the Sahaba, the way of the Salaf. And we do not fall short in that. We do not fall into any other types of deviations or misguidances or innovations. Rather, we cling to that pure religion as it was revealed. So we'll conclude upon that point today. And inshaAllah ta'ala, from next week we'll continue. And in fact, perhaps from next week or the week after, what we intend to do for a period of 4 or 5 weeks is to break off from the tafsir momentarily for perhaps 3 lessons or 4 lessons approaching Ramadan. These next 3 or 4 lessons that are going to lead into Ramadan, we intend to break away from the tafsir for 3 or 4 weeks in order to use those 3 or 4 lessons leading into Ramadan to go over the fiqh of Ramadan, to go over the rulings of Ramadan, all of the different rules and regulations of fasting, about the suhoor, about the iftar, about what breaks your fast, what doesn't break your fast, inhalers for asthma, do they break your fast, all types of different issues related to Ramadan and fasting and the fiqh of that. So perhaps 3 or 4 lessons coming up to Ramadan now, we'll be talking about those issues regarding the fiqh of Ramadan, maybe from next week or definitely the week after, but we'll advertise on the Twitter, on the messages, when that's going to start. Probably most likely next week we will start with those rulings of Ramadan and the fiqh of Ramadan, so that in those next 3 or 4 lessons that are left now, 3 weeks, 4 weeks left before Ramadan, a person has an understanding and has a comprehension of the rules of Ramadan before it comes. So that's what we'll continue with next week, and we'll leave it there for today. وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ